Your fellow people of God who have been called out of darkness by the wonderful gospel of Christ and have been brought into his marvelous light of salvation. Amen. Sometimes to justify being drawn to a person, a relationship, a situation, or a thing that isn't good, that's maybe quite harmful to us, very toxic, certainly not beneficial at all, we will sometimes justify that by saying, well, the heart wants what the heart wants, right? You imagine some couple that's incredibly dysfunctional bickering, like, yeah, we recognize that we don't get along at all. We're not good for each other in any way. We squabble just constantly. But hey, well, the heart wants what the heart wants. Sometimes, though, the heart totally gives in to something, to someone, a situation that just isn't good for itself at all. And the heart totally loses itself. And because of that, begins to think a certain way and begins to do things that you normally would otherwise never do. And then maybe you come out of that time, relationship or situation, whatever it is, and when you reflect on it, you wonder, who in the world was that person who said those things, who did those things, who acted that way? I want to forget, desperately so, some of the things that I have done. And if I'm being more honest with you, by some of the things that I've done, I mean a lot of the things that I've done. I don't want to remember them at all. But sometimes when something, external to me happens to jog my memory, and very much by not my conscious decision, I find myself thinking of these things and replaying them in my mind, I say the exact same thing. Man, who was that guy who thought it was acceptable to think this way or do this or that, behave that way for that long of a time? What in the world was I thinking? I almost don't even recognize myself in those moments. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've taken a good, hard look at yourself in the mirror too and said the exact same thing, that you don't even recognize yourself sometimes because of what you've done, what you were like. The Apostle Paul did very much the same thing. I don't imagine that he was looking into a mirror because those are pretty expensive and he traveled around all over the place. Not a very practical item for him to have, but he looked inwardly to himself. Hard, long look. And if we are honest as we do that, we recognize that this isn't always a fun thing to do, because we come to the exact same conclusions as the Apostle Paul, that while we live in this world, we struggle. We fight against ourselves, don't we? We need somebody to give us relief, deliverance. I mean, listen to the very first verse from our text this morning. This is Paul speaking. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Now this is Paul admitting that he doesn't recognize himself. Paul, the guy who for the previous two chapters of Romans has been spending a whole lot of time talking about the surpassing nature of God's grace. That where sin increased over here, grace increased that much more over here. And that's just the way that it is. This is Paul who says this. Paul, the guy who knew exactly who he was. That in baptism, he had been connected to Christ in the most profound way, so that he could say, honestly, so that when Christ died, he, Paul, died as well. That when Christ died, he, Paul, was buried too. But when Christ rose through the glory of the Father to new and holy life, so was he, Paul, also. And he knows that about himself. Obviously, he just explained it. So how in the world can he now say, just a few verses later, that he doesn't even recognize himself? Because his heart had given in to what his heart wanted. And sometimes his heart wanted and did things that he hated. The heart is drawn to some bad, no good, destructive things. Like a moth to a flame. And for God's people, there isn't any doubt for us about what those bad things are, because we have the revealed will of God. We have the Bible and God's law, which very clearly tells us what is not good for us. And so Paul says here that when he does the things that the law says not to do, then he can agree with the Lord that the law is good. Which usually isn't how I react to such things. When I get busted, I usually don't say, oh, well, the law is good. But Paul can say it in this sense. The law had done for him an incredible service, not a comfortable thing, but a very incredible service. It had shown him exactly who he was. He, Paul, was a sinner. No different from then to now. The law convicts all of us of exactly the same thing, so that if I say anything else, then I, Joe, am a sinner, then I've added to that by lying too. But as true as that is, Paul says this next. What do you make of this? As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Does that sound like an excuse to you? Like just a really weak, lowball excuse to give justification for doing whatever it is? And maybe you've heard somebody in a rather tongue-in-cheek sort of way say something like, oh, well, the devil made me do it, as an excuse. Or maybe a kid who's a little bit too witty for their years, at too young of an age, say, well, of course, teacher, mom, dad, of course I sinned. I'm a sinner. As an excuse for sin. That's not what Paul's doing here. This isn't an excuse. This is a reason, because Paul knows exactly who he is, that he's God's holy child made to do God's righteous and good will. So the fact that he does all of these things, that he, his new self, who he truly is, the fact that he does all these things that he hates, can only be the result of some incredibly powerful, invasive force that is seeking to take control of his heart, of him, his entire person. Sin living in him does this. Sin lives in us and does the very same thing. Sin isn't exclusively attacking us from the outside, as we so often prefer to think that it does, but sin attacks us from within. What does Jesus say? Out of the heart come impure thoughts, all these horrible, sinful urges and cravings and lusts. So entirely nasty, evil, horrid, bad, no good, vile is sin living in us that we don't view it quite seriously enough if we don't think of it in the exact same simple, matter-of-fact terms as Paul. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Nothing good, nothing. The sinful nature does not want anything good for you whatsoever. It's trying to kill you, as a matter of fact. But to get you into sin, what does it do? It promises benefit, promises satisfaction, promises relief. So when your sinful nature says this to you, these types of things, recognize the hyper-personal nature of these verses, of what Paul is talking about, because he can recognize the difference between his sinful nature and himself too, but then he says that I did these things, so it's better to say, when you say these things to yourself, when you say these lies to yourself and give in to what your heart wants, you know isn't good for you, only to come out of that time again, shaking your head, mumbling to yourself in shame and regret once more, just like the Apostle Paul here. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What do you think it was for Paul? You know, that reprehensible thing that he hated and that he didn't want to do. Whatever it was, it certainly plagued his heart, weighed his conscience right down. It's probably better to ask a better question, though, isn't it? What thing did I do again that I hate when I do it? Again and again. And if you're honest with yourself, I guarantee that you can answer that question very quickly. And if you can't answer it very quickly, then you are lying to yourself, because there's something in the struggle against sin that we're all in by virtue of the fact that we have faith in the Lord Jesus in our hearts. We are being bludgeoned and battered and beaten. Sin is landing haymaker after haymaker against us, slamming our face into the mat. And all the while, it's sweet-talking us and telling us how much it loves us that we continue to come crawling back to it. And every once in a while, when the Holy Spirit picks us up off of the mat and juices us up again with the forgiveness and the love of the Lord Jesus, then we are able to shout back in the face of sin that, no, I hate you. And we can sock it right back, and we can land some pretty heavy hits ourselves in this struggle against sin by just not sinning. That's a win for the kingdom of God. And then you can actually do God's will, and you have the power to do that because you have faith in you. And with faith, it is possible to please God, but all the while that is going on, this still very much remains true for us. The struggle in our hearts is real, and it is happening all the time. Listen to what Paul says next. So, I find this law at work. And by law here, he means more like normative principle, like a law of thermodynamics or something like that. This is just the way it goes. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. So right when we are about to congratulate ourselves for the good that we do, well, maybe a little bit of arrogance creeps in, a little bit of evil, and whatever that beautiful good thing was is tarnished by the fact that we are sinful people who do sinful things, and that's just the way that it is. We aren't helping ourselves out at all if we choose to forget that spiritual reality, which we do. We don't struggle against sin just occasionally, but constantly and from within. I mean, how relatable is this? For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I mean, how many times haven't you been listening to, you know, a devotional podcast or something, or been sitting in church or reading the Bible, and maybe you're reading God's laws. Maybe you're reading God's instructions for your life or whatever it is, and you're nodding up and down in agreement the whole time. You say, yes, this is God's goodwill, and you hear the gospel and gospel imperatives, go and preach. You say, yes, this is very good. Nodding in agreement all the while, knowing that it's nothing but blessed for you to hear these things and do these things for yourself, for your neighbor, the kingdom of God at large, only to then turn around and wham, 2 seconds later, you are hit in the face again by sin, knocked to the floor, tied up, bag thrown over your head, and you're dragged off into captivity by sin once again. We see this struggle in ourselves. It's exhausting. It's painful. It hurts. It leaves us feeling miserable, ashamed of ourselves, like we're absolutely no good, rotten Christians. How could God love us when he made us like this, and yet we clearly show that we're this way still? Feel defeated. We can wind up saying this: what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? It doesn't feel very good to say that. It feels like despair. That statement sounds an awful lot like despair, because it is despair. It's despairing of oneself for righteousness. It's an admission that righteousness has to be found somewhere else, that someone absolutely needs to set us free from the war we'll never be able to set ourselves free from, that we can't win. This is a confession that we must be rescued from ourselves, because all of what Paul talks about here is very much true for us. All of the good intentions, all of the resolutions, all of the, well, I'm going to do it your way next time. Lord, I really promise this time, complete with moments of very real, sincere, heartfelt repentance, only to turn around and fail again. All of that adds up and it weighs us down, so that from the bottoms of our souls, we cry literally sometimes out, who's going to save me? My son will. That's God's answer every single time. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks. Constant thanks. It's what Paul has in his heart in the middle of his outpouring in a public way to people he'd never even met before. Pretty brave thing to do. Of his struggles against sin and all of the many times he has failed, he can still give thanks to God, because he knows with a certainty that can only come from God that his redemption is secure, that his victory is already complete. You can give thanks to God this way too. That's God's will for you. He tells you to do that in 1 Thessalonians. Give thanks all the time, he says. We got a whole Bible of reasons to do that. And we could spend the next month and a half sitting in this room, ordering food in, coming up with all kinds of ways that God has blessed us, all the things that we can give thanks to him for. But in light of what we're talking about this morning, just think about these two things. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's like the most unfair arrangement of all time. Grace isn't fair, thankfully, and God gives it to us in Christ when he takes all of our sin and gives us all of his righteousness. And Christ does this for us too. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because you, by the perfect life, by the sacrificial death, by the triumphant resurrection of the Lord Jesus, have been set free from sin, from death, have been set free to truly live, set free to have the hope of everlasting life in glory. Because you know that Christ succeeds where you fail. You're a sinful person who does sinful things, and so am I, but Christ is a perfect person who does perfect things. And he gives that to you. He's our relief. He's our rescue. He's our deliverance. He's our rest. Christ forgives. And Christ has forgiven you. You have been given peace, and you stand in it now by faith in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for you to save you from yourself, free you from your struggle against sin, and give you eternal life. Amen. Please stand.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.